Let us compose our mind, develop the sadha, the faith, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guanxin Pusa. Namo Guanxin Pusa. Namo Guanxin Pusa. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, then the page one of the chanting book. Then we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panati pata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musawada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we shall chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light, page 3. Ganna sarappa dithena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambarayutena dupena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang thang. Puja bhajana mutamang vanna ganda guno petang etang kasuma santatin
Pujayami Munindasa Siri Pada Sarorohe Pujemi Butang Kasumena Nena Punena Matena Chahotu Mokang Pupang Milayati Yata Idang Me Kayo tata yati vinasa bawang adivase tuno bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigang hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante Pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang.
Now let's make our puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring us such and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like this fragrance of the incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect. Tripaja. Bhutang pujemi. Dhammang pujemi. Sanghang pujemi. Okay. You can be seated. Just relax yourself. Maintain some form of attentiveness. Relax body and mind. Then we are off the light and you can start your meditation. I will ring the bell after about 30 minutes. Today we can have half an hour meditation. Yeah. Okay. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have been out slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. Then these are the trained mind state that you need to develop the daily mindfulness. So this mind states of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness with the spiritual faculties, especially sati that has been stabilized, you have to use it to live life, to cultivate daily mindfulness. Especially mindfulness of the four posture, followed by mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action and all movement in the present moment, as per Satipatthana Sutta. Okay, now we turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the Devas. Devaradhana, invocation to the Devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the dainties or Devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and earth Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Now we chant the Pali together. Samanta Chakawalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhamman Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vija charana sampano sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipasiko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditatbo Vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato savakasango Ujupatipanno bhagavato savakasango Nyayapatipanno bhagavato savakasango Samichipatipanno bhagavato savakasango Yadidang chatari purisa yokani Ata purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savaka sango Ahuneyo pahuneyo Dakineyo anjali karaneyo Anuttaraṃ puṇyakhetaṃ lokasāti
sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Okay, let us pay homage to Triple Gem. Buddhang pujami, Dhammang pujami, Sanghang pujami. Okay. Today we will continue with chapter 15. Page 127. Before we start, we will read the opening statement. Turn to page 1. Verse for opening a sutta. The unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Okay, then turn the page 127. So we are going through this, the Vajra Prajna Paramita Sutta, which is the Diamond Sutta. Okay, page 127. Okay, we are at the Sutta part, the second, third paragraph. And why Subhati is one who delights in lesser teaching is attached to the view of a self, a view of others, a view of living beings, and a view of a life. He cannot hear, receive, hold, read, or recite the sutta, or explain it for others. Subhati, the god, the man, and the asuras of the world, makes offering at any place where this sutta is found. You should know such a place is a stupa, where everyone should respectfully bow, circumambulate, and scatter the incense and flowers. So this is the sutta. So we will go through Xuanhua's commentary. According to Xuanhua, a person who takes on the responsibility of the Buddha's work is not one who enjoys the small vehicle's teaching. Actually, the word here, enjoy, enjoy is in a different sense, not the sensual sense. Enjoy means they love the small vehicle teaching a lot. Those who study the teaching of the small vehicle are attached to the view of a self, which is a kind of greed. They are attached to a view of others, which is a kind of hostility. They are also attached to a view of living beings and alive, which is a kind of stupidity. Such people cannot hear, receive, or recite the content of the Vajra Sutta. So this first part, is it possible for you all to understand? I didn't really explain to you all before, but I mentioned it before. You remember while we were going through the Bodhisattva vow? A lot of those who cultivate the Theravada training, what did they always say? The way is too long, you remember? The way is too long. Then what did they want to do? They want to renounce. See? The day, the atta, believe this way is too long for me. I want to cut short, I want to become Arahant straight away, this life. Then they have this wrong view, thinking that the vow will block them from becoming Arahant. Where does that come from? Yeah? Why they go and think that the vow will block them? Because they have this Theravada idea. Like Paramahansa said, it's from the thought, which is correct. But more important is, these are the Theravada's interpretation of Buddhahood and Arahantship. Because they say, according to the Sutta and according to Sakyamuni. What was in the Theravada Sutta? When you realize Sotapan or Sotapanaship, first stage of sainthood, maximum 7 life in the sensual life, remember? Then if you progress further and reach the path and fruition of Sakadagami, second stage of sainthood, you are called a once returner. Means you only return to the sensual life one more time. Understand? Then when you hit Anagami, the third stage of sainthood, you are called a non-returner. Non-returner means what? You don't come back to the sensual realm, Kamaloka, but you take birth in the Brahma realm. That's why the pure abbot there. Abbot, the pure abbot, not abbot. Abbot, the pure abbot, the 5 realms up there. Then you become Arahant after that. Then they say, Arahant, no more birth, no more coming back. In a certain way, it is true. But they don't have the complete understanding. So what happens is, the cultivator, as you progress along the path of Dhamma, especially those who have the parami, who have the condition to meet up with Sama Sambuddha or great beings like the great Bodhisattva or Mahasattva and all those things. Even in Thailand, a lot of people believe their king is a great Bodhisattva. Then according to Achan Achalo that told us, he said, according to the Thai people, their king got, don't know, 5 more births before he become a Sammasambuddha. That's why that is what they have, the confidence in him and all those things. So there are some Theravada monk or Theravada practitioner who now have faith in the Bodhisattva way. Then I think one of the Kayamita in the WhatsApp also say, now it gives him more confidence and more understanding of the Bodhisattva way. You know, all along they had this Theravada idea. If this life I give up the Bodhisattva way, if I, again the I, cultivate seriously, because they believe the vow prevent them from becoming Arahant. You know why they have this idea? They were so scared. If they become Arahant, no more coming back, they cannot continue the Bodhisattva way. Then they believe, because of the Bodhisattva way, they cannot become Arahant. So that's why this conflict of duality and understanding created the thought that say, it's too long, too difficult. Who is saying all this? The mundane mind. The thought. For the Bodhisattva, when you cultivate according to Prajna Paramita Sutta, which is the Diamond Sutta, this cultivation is way beyond the small vehicle or what they call the sainthood way. The Bodhisattva way, when you cultivate until certain stages, they not only gone through the Arahantship realization, they also know how to make the Bodhisattva way to allow the form and mind to come back to continue to cultivate. And every life, when they connect, they can still have the enlightenment, inherit the spiritual nature and all those things. And it doesn't mean that if they hit Arahan, they will cease to come back. No such thing. Bodhisattva are, according to the Pali word, Bodhi is, what is Bodhi? Bodhi is what? Puti. What is Bodhi? Bodhi is wisdom, isn't it? Grana. Or enlightenment, isn't it? So Bodhi, if you have Bodhi, then you are a Satta. Satta means being. Means a being that has Bodhi. Or enlightened being that has the wisdom. So a Bodhisattva is actually an enlightened being who has fulfilled the ability to realize all this enlightenment, and yet they want to continue with the Bodhisattva way to realize the fully enlightened state of a Sammasambuddha. And that one, they know is very long. But they already realize that there is no such thing as a being inside there. You understand? Because they already perfected all those wisdom. Even the Arahant know. He know you, he know me. But then, because of their lack of deep understanding of the Bodhisattva way, while they were cultivating the sainthood way, this doubt is always there. So that's why Xian Hua explained, according to Diamond Sutta, I repeat what the Sutta said. He said, he asked Subhati, and why Subhati? Why one delights in the lesser teaching, means the smaller vehicle or the Theravada teaching, is attached to the view of a self, a view of others, a view of living beings, and a view of a life. So these are now become clearer to you, because those who have this wrong understanding, who doesn't know the whole of the Bodhisattva path or way of cultivation, then they will have this idea that they, the form and mind, to them there is such thing as a being. So the first one is there is a view of a self walking this way, cultivating this Bodhisattva way, and the thought will come in, the egoic mind will say, it's too long. I want to realize Arahantship this life. You realize the Atta come in or not? I want to realize Arahantship this life. That's why I renounce the vow that I cultivate seriously. So the Atta, the view of a self, is still very strong. Then the thought will tell them, the Bodhisattva vow is crazy. You vow to liberate the limitless living beings. So they have a view of living being to liberate. Understand? So all these are the mark of a self, mark of others, view of living beings. And that because there is living being, there is such thing as life and Dhamma. That's why this four mark will present itself and prevent them from the realization. But if they cultivate sincerely, then through their silent mind, when they connect to their true nature, then when they insight into phenomena, the characteristics of nature, especially the universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state and non-self or empty nature of existence, then when they realize everything is dependent originating condition arising, there is no such thing as a permanent unchanging entity, then only they come to realize that there is no being inside. The form and mind is not really what they think they are. The form and mind is just a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool for the nature to come, to develop the understanding, to develop the cultivation, to go through karma, to experience all of life following the nature's law of karma. That's why when the Buddha said we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, condition is supported by our karma. We are what we are because of our karma. That refers to the form and mind. There is no conflict in his teaching. So a lot of people who cannot understand, they always have this doubt lingering behind. He said, Buddha teach anatta, non-self. He know me, he know you. Yet he say we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So they cannot reconcile, understand not? So this is the part that those who have not developed the true penetration of the Dhamma, the awakening to the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state and non-self, or anatta nature, they will have difficulty comprehending all this. So because of that, the mark of a self-cultivating, the mark of a living being to be liberated, the mark of life, living being having to go through life, live life, then the mark of Dhamma. So all this will actually hinders the cultivator from developing what they call the great virtue, the great merits and wholesomeness. Because in the early chapter, if you can recall, the Buddha actually gave a lot of analogy. As a normal cultivator who has this mark, even how much merits you develop through all the generosity, the giving and all those things, keeping of whatever precepts and all those things, then when you offer all this, the seven treasure in this universe, let's say to all the Buddhas of all the 3,000 world system, the merits that you receive is still nowhere comparable to any cultivator who understand the Diamond Sutta and share it with living beings. So that shows to you the extent of what they call the multiplier effect of a cultivator who has penetrated this Diamond Sutta to realize that all the marks, they are the one that limit your progress, your perfection, your cultivation. But the moment you can develop that understanding and cultivate accordingly beyond mark, your progress is very, very different. It is like supersonic, very fast, very, very fast, compared to conventional way, conventional type of cultivation. So this is the reason why the Buddha explained to Subhati. So this first part, I think, is easy to understand. So if you have the mark, then they cannot hear, receive, hold, or read, or recite the sutta, means the Diamond Sutta. And because of that, there is no way they can explain to others. So this is where the limitation of the smaller vehicle is. That's why they cannot effectively transmit the true teaching. That's why everything is about self-enlightenment. You see the point or not? There is a being who cultivate for self-enlightenment. That's why you cannot blame the Mahayana for saying that the sainthood way, even the Arahant, they say, they still have selfishness. You understand? Well, this selfishness is not the delusion one, understand? The delusion one, Arahant, no more. You understand? Yeah? There is no more selfishness, because the non-self, anatta nature realized. But what they try to say, as far as cultivation is concerned,
If you are only interested in self-enlightenment, means what? You cultivate for your own enlightenment. Right? That's why you are selfish, right? To benefit yourself, to realize yourself. You are not here, yeah? To cultivate the enlightenment, to bring forth the Bodhi mind, so that living beings can be taken across. So the one that goes the Bodhisattva way, according to Mahayana, is they would rather delay their Buddhahood. Understand? Not the enlightenment of Arahant or Bodhisattva. Understand? They only delay their Buddhahood. But actually, if you truly understand, it doesn't mean that when you have realized that Buddhahood, like Sakyamuni, yeah, after the 2600 over years ago, the enlightenment, after that, he cannot come back. Everything, no more. It's not like that, understand? Sakyamuni Buddha's nature is always there, the Buddha nature. It has its vow and all those things like Amitabha, Kuan Yin and all those things. Even the Maha Bodhisattva, the great Bodhisattva, they have become part of nature's law. So their nature is everywhere, manifested in this universe. They never cease. They is not an entity, a being. That nature perpetually around in this universe. So if it wants to come, it can still come. But it's no more like another Buddha Sasana, understand not? Another Sama-sama Buddhahood. No. That one time only. After that, you finish. Yeah. Then, whatever it is, that nature, if it still has that condition to manifest and come, it can take another form in mind and come. Yeah. But it's no more the predicted one, understand? The one that is predicted, that one only once in whatever period of cultivation that nature does, only one time. So a lot of these bodhisattva, they choose to stay, they don't want to go through that. Yeah? Because for them, no different. Yeah? When you have this understanding, the thought cannot come in through the back door and deceive you, understand? You can follow now. Yeah? Because all this comes from the egoic mind and create the division through all this muck. Those who don't understand, they cling on to the five aggregate of form in mind, thinking that it is real, thinking that this is the one that cultivates and wants to realize the enlightenment, the arahantship and all things. But like I explained, the form and mind that realize and become enlightened, that one is not you, understand not? That one is a segmented life, form and mind, which is also impermanent, condition arising, dependent originating. That one you can say is enlightened, but that one is not you. Because it's dependent originating, it's not a permanent and changing entity, understand? It's just one of the segments of that existence that you take, your nature take. And that one, because it's connected to the true mind with the wisdom, that's why it's no longer deluded. No longer deluded means no more suffering. Then you can say it's enlightened, but that one is not you. That one is the segmented line that the nature take to come to this world. That's why that one you can say is an arahant. Even like Sakyamuni's time, that one is the Buddha, Sakyamuni Buddha. But Sakyamuni Buddha, yeah, is not a permanent unchanging entity. It's not him. The real Sakyamuni Buddha is the embodiment of what? Yeah? Embodiment of what? All of his perfection and cultivation, the wisdom, the ten perfection. That nature is Sakyamuni Buddha's nature, understand? But that segmented life form, even though it's Sakyamuni Buddha, that one is dependent originating, condition arising. That one is the functional body that come and perform the function of a Buddha. But it become the Sammasambuddha because it's connected to that nature, the great perfection, the great wisdom and virtue. So that's why the condition arise underneath the Bodhi tree when that functional body, Nimanakaya, the physical body or functional body of Sakyamuni Buddha that came that life to perform the function of a Sammasambuddha, it connect through that true mind. Then it inherit his perfection body, Sambhogayakaya. Then these two combine, animate into Dhammakaya, means the Sammasambuddha, the Bodhi mind of a Sammasambuddha that has the perfect wisdom and virtue to teach the Dhamma, to proclaim the Dhamma, to arise the Sasana. So it's just that. So if you understand, then there is no more delusion, then there is no more mark, anasana. All these are following the understanding. The understanding that give rise to this possibility. Because the great law under the existential world, especially the law of karma, you need to have a form in mind, a vehicle and a tool through karmic. We call it the karma, karmic nature. So, the karmically conditioned form in mind, like what I wrote on the whiteboard. Remember this? So this is the karmic nature. Then because of karma, it conditioned what they call a form and a mind or a human being. So this one conditioned what they call a human being, five aggregate of form and mind. So this human being has a physical form or physical body. Then it has the mind, which is the consciousness. And this one got four aggregates. So this human being is not you, but it's one segment of the form and mind that come through karma. Can follow? You have to get this clear. Otherwise, you cannot penetrate the Dhamma. You can never understand what anatta is. Anatta means this five aggregate of form and mind, they are impermanent, leading to suffering because dependent originating, not a permanent unchanging entity. Hence, non-self, not you. But this is connected to your karmic nature. That's why the Buddha said, this fellow, the human being, is born of karma, heir to his karma, conditioned and supported by his karma. It is what it is because of karma. So this one, you have to understand, is subject to the nature's law of karma. That's why you have to take care of karma. That's why this one need to cultivate, need to purify, need to develop the powerful karmic nature, so that every life you come, you have good form and mind, good condition. So that this nature, karmic nature, will support you whenever you arise. That's why in our Bodhisattva vow, we vow to have this understanding, so that life after life, when we come, we will have beautiful condition to connect, to meditate, and to realize. Then with that wisdom connected, this form and mind, that segmented form and mind, become enlightened. But this one is not you. But you can use this to cultivate, to perfect whatever perfection, to do your duty, to bring forth the great Bodhi mind or Bodhi heart, to bring across all those living beings that have affinity with your nature, that has the condition to benefit from your teaching. So this is basically what I call the secret of life. When you understand this secret, you know how to cultivate appropriately. Then you know how to come. You know how to die. You know how to live. Then you understand life. Otherwise, you are totally deluded. Deluded means you grasp and cling at this five aggregate of form and mind, thinking that this human being is real, is you. Then you think this fellow with the consciousness, the mind, this one become what they call the knower. You think there is a thinker behind the thought, the knower. So the knower becomes the living being. And in our case, as a human being, we call it the human being. If it's the non-human and all those things, we call it living being. So this one, if you deludedly believe it's you, it's real, then you will be caught. Then this one, because of the senses and the consciousness, upon contact, it can give rise to the sixth sense door experience. The sixth sense doors experience that bring about the sixth type of consciousness. You can be conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. That's like consciousness become like real. So through consciousness, like the Buddha mentioned, our mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. That's like the phenomenal world of consciousness. They arise because of the mind. That's why this phenomenal world of consciousness created all of the star system, the consciousness, energy, and matter. The scientists already proven E equals MC squared, interconvertible. So, all of consciousness, the phenomenal world, come about. That's why consciousness created the continent, the star system, the living being, and everything that you come to perceive in this universe. So this is where the delusion is. Can follow? Spend some time to understand this. Read the green book. Then only your Sakkaya Ditti, self-delusion, you can go beyond and you can break it. Then your mind can liberate. If you don't have this understanding, is near the impossible for you to realize that understanding that the Buddha teach. I realize a lot of cultivators don't understand this. Have you read anywhere in any book or the internet about this explanation? Never before, I tell you. That's why they cannot penetrate the Buddha Dhamma. And what the Buddha meant when he said you are born of your karma, head of your karma, condition, and supported by it, is this is not you. Where this one, karmically conditioned form and mind, is dependent, originating, impermanent. That's why the Buddha said the five aggregate of form and mind, in short, it is through your self-delusion that grabs and cling. Then this one becomes the Pancha Upadana Khandas, the five aggregate of grasping that I call suffering. Because of self-delusion, you grasp and cling, thinking that it's you. That's why the Buddha realized this is impermanent, lead to suffering. And because it is impermanent, it is not a permanent and changing entity. That's why it's not him. That's why his problem no more. You remember how he renounced? He go forth and left the palace because he got this problem with old age, sickness and death. You remember? And he cannot develop the answer even after doing all the meditation for 6 years under Alara, Udaka, with all the jhana, everything. Because he still believes this is him. Then he said, I still got a problem when I get old, get sick. And finally, this, if this is me, this one died. That's why underneath the Bodhi tree, what he realized through the contemplation is he saw the dependent origination, the 12 link, the various type of numerous birth. First one birth, two birth, three birth, then hundreds of thousands, then millions, hundreds of millions, and infinity. Then he realized how every life when he is born into what family, with what name. Then what he do, this one become the karmic. Then it conditioned his next birth. Then the next birth also same. Then future birth. Then he starts to see all this. Then he realized this is not him. That's why he break free. Then he realized I got no more problem with birth, old age, sickness and death. Then he realized the whole of creation, the secret of life, how through karma within the existential world, the condition arising world, the form and mind can arise. And this is a vehicle and tool that you need to come to this universe, to the conditioned world, to live life, experience life. And this is what samsara is all about, because this is within the conditioned world. But the realization, the final cessation that he realized, is the unconditioned. That's why in the teaching he mentioned many times, if it's not because of the unconditioned, escape from the conditioned world is impossible. You remember this statement? Yeah? How many of you haven't heard of this statement? Everybody heard? Huh? 你没有听过? The Buddha was asked, what is Nibbana? He said that Nibbana is the unconditioned, you cannot talk about. If it does not exist, then escape from the conditioned world is impossible. Understand? That's why you have to realize the unconditioned. Unconditioned means what? You know, our conditioned world, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind for it to arise. Like how we are born into this world. What are the conditions behind? You must have parents, eh? Father, mother, have the conception. Then there is a karmic consciousness that is ready to take birth. So these are the conditions. Then it arises. Like my voice. What are the conditions? There must be a microphone. Yeah? There must be somebody's vibration through the speech. Then magnify. You must have your hearing consciousness. Then this voice, the hearing consciousness can arise. Otherwise it cannot arise. So everything is dependent originating, condition arising. Without condition, nothing arises. Like this whiteboard, how it arises. Somebody go and gather the raw material, yeah? Then produce it, put it on sales. Then Kayanamita, through Kayanamita Fund, the first batch, Cindy, they all, they bought this and offered to me for the class. Then because we bought, then it exists, arise already. Let's say I offer it and donate it. Condition no more, gone. Go somewhere else, understand? Or somebody stole it, condition gone. Or it can be destroyed, understand? Yeah. Like through accident or fire or whatever. Then no more condition. Yeah. That's why everything that arises, there are causes and conditions from the past. You are here not by chance. Because you have your parami, you have your nature. But a lot of you don't have the understanding because you have not really developed the full understanding. Some of you have connected to a certain extent. But later on, when you develop the real understanding, then you will understand all this. Yeah? But if you don't take the bodhisattva way, you cannot understand all this. But this life, you are lucky because you have the affinity with this nature. And the condition is such, this nature has this understanding that it inherits from the past cultivation. That's why it can share this with you. That's why I told you all, there are a lot of things that this nature understands. I never learned this life. Nobody taught me this. But how can I share it with you? Because this nature has developed the cultivation from the past. That's why book never write. I can share it with you. I dare to share it with you. Why? Because the Dhamma is Pachetang. You know what Pachetang is? Can be realized by the wise each for themselves. You no need to check. You need to check means chances are not the real one. Yeah. So this one is what we need you to really develop the understanding. Okay? Any question? Make sure you understand it. Huh? Pass the mic. I help you to repeat your first part. Very good question. You all heard what Hui Rong asked, isn't it? He said we are familiar with the conditioned world. But when you talk about the condition, what do you mean? The unconditioned. What do you mean by the unconditioned? Yeah, Nibbana is the unconditioned. But what do you mean? The Buddha only explained in the text as what? Negation. Negation. You know what is negation? What Nibbana is, you can only use the negative thing to explain it. That's why he said Nibbana is the unconditioned. No condition there. No such thing as law of karma. No such thing as birth, old age, sickness and death. You remember the Heart Sutta? In true emptiness, there is no five aggregate of form and mind. No four noble truth. No birth. No Dhamma. No old age, no sickness, and no death. That is the unconditioned. Understand not? Unconditioned means there is nothing. Nothing to talk about. Nothing that you can conceptualize. Because it is beyond thought, beyond mind. It is not something that arises. Understand not? That's why your form and mind must cease. Form and mind cease means what? No thought, no mind. That's why the Dhamma is akaliko, timeless, beyond thought, beyond mind. But when you meditate, the thought is so active, the mind is so active, then how can you realize a state that is beyond thought, beyond mind? That's why Lao Tzu, he understands. He explained it in a more clearer manner, is it? Whatever that can be spoken, expressed, or talked about is not the true Tao. You understand? That is actually the oneness. Also the unconditioned. But he end up with the final statement, nothing is apart from the Tao. But he said, whatever that you can describe, talk about, or express, is not the true Tao now. So the true Tao is the source. Understand? Source means it is from the source that everything come by. Understand? Arise. So what is the source? The source is the source of all creation. Understand not? That's why he said nothing is apart from the Tao. The Tao is the source, beginning of all things. That's why the true nature, original nature, is the beginning of all things. And through this, it arises. You remember last time when I shared with you the five aggregate of form and mind? Yeah? The second aspect, the five mental aggregate of form and mind. First is the first aspect, the physical body. We know physical body is not real, not us. We have four elements, go the way of nature. Without consciousness, no knowing, cannot be you. Okay? So this one, subject to nature's law. Impermanent, lead to suffering, and never die. That's why it has to experience old age, sickness, and death. Because this one, go the way of nature. It's not a permanent, unchanging entity, not you. Then the Buddha went on to describe the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, the four more aggregate of mind. Feeling, he proved, is the same. Is feeling permanent? If feeling permanent, it will not lead to suffering. Understand? Huh? If feeling itself, you can say, I want this feeling to remain. Pure feeling, good feeling, no more painful feeling. But it doesn't listen to you. Because feeling is not self, that's why it leads to suffering. Unsatisfactoriness. Then he asked, is feeling permanent or impermanent? Yeah? Feeling, is it permanent or impermanent? Surely impermanent is that come and go there. So that which is impermanent and lead to suffering, is it right to say that it feeling is me? feeling is I. Is it right? It's definitely nonsense, isn't it? No meaning, isn't it? So, if feeling is not you, then who are you? What are you? Because like I explained in a clearer manner, actually the Anatta Lakkhana didn't have this part. If feeling is me, when feeling changes from a good feeling to an unpleasant feeling, I should die with it, isn't it? True or not? But if that pleasant feeling is me when it arises, then it changes and become unpleasant, I should have died, isn't it? But how come I didn't die? Similarly, perception arises and passes away. This form of mind is still around. Mental state, consciousness, same. They arise, they pass away, but this nature is still around. Form of mind. That I used to give you the what they call second turning inquiry. I say, if the aggregates of mind, feeling, perception, sankhara or activity of mind and mental states and consciousness, if they are impermanent, lead to suffering, non-self and not you, then how did they arise in you? Then who are you? What are you? Remember? Based on the teaching, you know they are dependent originating. Correct or not? The dwelling. Upon contact, what happened? Huh? Feeling arise, isn't it? That's why feeling must have the condition behind. What are the conditions? The senses, understand not? The five physical senses and the mind. Then the mind make contact. That's why in every moment of seeing, there is a feeling within, which is a seven universal. Tactile also same. There is a feeling inside. Smell also same. Taste, tactile, thought, hearing also same. So this feeling, which is part of the mind, is one of the aggregate of mind. So how did it arise? Dependent originating. There must be an organ, there must be a mind, there must be contact. And all this must be in condition, proper condition for it to arise. Then the question is, if they are not you, how come they keep on arising in you with every moment of consciousness? If all this that arise and pass away is not you, then who are you? What are you? That's why I say you haven't gone into this deep enough. Last time when I meditated, I went into all this. I investigated, the nature investigated, silent. That's why within the silent, it connects and it understands. Maybe you can say, but you cultivate before, that's why very easy. But there is a point of time where this nature also starts like you, understand? The Buddha also do the same. He also has to start like a normal living being and develop all this understanding. That's why I say it can be done. It can be done. You must have the faith. So go into it. Otherwise, you never learn. Understand? Write down the question based on what I say. Last time I given you the hint already. Understand? If they are not you, how come they arise in you? How do they arise? Of course, you know dependent originating. Okay? But from where does it arise? It's the true nature, understand? The true nature, true is understanding, true is wisdom. And know that there is a nature's law that governs this. Understand? That's why you need a vehicle and a tool to come. That's why from that nature, the unconditioned, the condition will arise. But this is the source. So the first thought of ignorance, the Surangama Sutta, you remember? The first thought of ignorance, that condition, the primordial, what they call primordial the first thought of ignorance, they call it the primordial consciousness. That is the one that actually conditioned from there, from one, it starts. That's why last time I used to show you all. Who wants to help me to write? Sorry, help me to write. Take one of the ink. Blue one, okay. Right up there. From zero, come one. Draw a zero, somewhere there. Then arrow, come one. One. She remembered the answer to. How does it become infinity? But the egoic mind arises, understand or not? Mind is a forerunner of all things. So this egoic mind deluded, thinking this is real. That's why from one, it creates the rest. That's why come infinity. So how to go home? How to realize enlightenment? You remember the four circle I draw? The first one is the source. Then the second one is pure awareness, your true mind. Understand how? Then third one? Your mundane mind. Then the phenomenal world. Go and draw the four fellow. Otherwise you cannot understand. I have to repeat this so that you recall and understand. It's all in the Heart Sutta note, understand how? Source, the first one. No need to draw so big. No, just put an S inside there, can I? Rub it off. Put an S. That second circle no need so big. Otherwise, not enough to draw four. Don't use black. Use the other black. Or blue was okay. To write food. Just a symbol. Monday mind. M. Then the last one is phenomenal world. No need to write the whole thing. This one maybe draw oblong. Draw oblong. Cannot be round. Draw oblong. Okay, quite round. very good. Can you remember that? The source is what we call the oneness nature, the true nature, or the Tao. Different religion call by different name. Mahayana call it the source, or original nature, true nature, 本来的面目, source of all things. From there, everything arises. So, the first primordial darkness that come out is what? The pure awareness, understand? The pure mind, like a baby, understand? Without content. Can still see things as they are. No idea, no concept, nothing. But the primordial darkness, that's why it's called darkness, understand? It come out already. The first thought of ignorant, because that one has its self-evidencing, thinking that it's real, it exists, understand? Then from there, it creates thinking. Understand? From zero come one, the primordial darkness. Then from there, it continues to become more and more deluded. Through self-evidencing, it creates all this alaya consciousness. Then from there, alaya consciousness created form. Understand? That's why we become what they call gross form and mind. Initially, you are just consciousness with its content. Understand? That's why the devas, the non-human, all those things, they are without the physical gross form. Understand? Until you become so deluded. Understand? So deluded means what? Like last time I give you the example, remember? Let's say you are born in your hometown, where? Small town in Taiwan, let's say Hui Rong, okay? So when you're young, you play around there. Then later on, what happened? People tell you outside world very nice. So you come out, you travel. Then let's say after you move out from your hometown, you go to Kaohsiung, or you go to Taipei, or big city, you understand? Then you get excited. After that, you travel to Malaysia, met your husband, travel around the world. Oh, you met her in Taiwan. Sorry. What I'm trying to tell you is you forgot about your hometown. You don't know how to go home. Because here, too nice. Everything is so meaningful. Your children here, your husband here, your home here. Once a while when you think of home, maybe you go back to see your parents. But then, if let's say technology is not so good, there's no aeroplane service and all those things, I tell you, after so many years, you go back to Taiwan, you also don't know where your hometown is. Like my hometown now, if I have not gone back every year or a few times a year, the whole of my small town is redeveloped, totally no more there. Understand? Because it has become a new township. They have redeveloped the whole thing. Last time that kampong, no more. Completely wiped off. So, from here, it come out, the primordial darkness, the true mind. Then from this one, it create the mundane mind, you know. And this mundane mind, I tell you, the Buddha call it the greatest magician. Create so much magic. Then the phenomenal world, this one entice you, make you gullible. And this one make you cling and grasp and hold. Even here, inside the aggregate, also you grasp, cling and hold. That's why people become depressed. Understand? Depression, sadness, sorrow, lamentation. But when you grasp and cling, you think this is happiness. This is the phenomenal world is wonderful, beautiful, meaningful. That's why you strive so hard to earn money, to enjoy life, to have this, have that. Then the moment you grasp and cling through delusion, when conditions cease to be, then you have problem. That's why you suffer. Suffer due to separation. You fear that the form and mind which you think is you go through old age, sickness and death. Separation, suffering, misery. So all this is the first noble truth reality. But if you don't have the wisdom, you live in this mundane world and the phenomenal world, you're completely lost. Then you travel like the knower. The knower become the living being. Travel in space and time for eternity. This is what samsara is all about. So when you lost yourself until you are so heedless, you forgot who you are and what you are, then you grasp, you cling. That's why this is samsara. Keep on coming, going, non-stop. Then what happens is, when you meditate, you have to see clearly through your direct see that this phenomenal world is mind-made, condition arising. Can you understand? The world of consciousness. Mind-made are they. That's why impermanent lead to suffering. Not a permanent unchanging entity. Condition arising, dependent orient. So when you realize this, you return all of the phenomenal world to your mundane mind. That's why you know that this is the one that create, like the Buddha said, our mind is the forerunner of all things. Like I said, your eye. The moment you open, the seeing consciousness come to be. What happened? The phenomenal world of vision arise already. Yeah? Everything you can perceive arise already. True or not? So this phenomenal world, you think is real. Because it's so solid. Understand? So tangible. Some of the music are so nice. Understand or not? Especially your TV. The cinema screen. Yeah? You can even be emotionally cry there. It's actually a white screen with all the color shining on it. Understand? And you can be so emotional. So the phenomenal world is the one that entice you. Make you gullible. That's why you get trapped. You get caught. Then when you understand all this, how you create this, then you return them to the mundane mind. That's why you meditate by looking within your mundane mind. Then, like the Buddha said, you start to see upon contact what happened, depend on then how your mundane mind is stirred and it reacts. and become emotional, fearful, insecure, unhappy, miserable. And this is suffering, mental suffering. That's why when you start to understand all this, then your mind develops wisdom. Then you straighten your view. Not to react, not to stir, not to be deceived by all this. Then you develop the wisdom and the understanding and realize that this one is not the real you. This one is the fake one. Understand? This one is the karmically condition arising. This one, the segmented life, keep on coming and trap you in samsara and create this for you to cling, to grasp. And through that clinging and grasping, you become afflicted. That's how the suffering arises. So when you understand all this, you meditate to return to this, then through your mindfulness, you start to see all this. Trace the origination factor, then retrospectively reverse it. Through what? Through right view, understand? Because last time you react and stir with a wrong view. You perceive everything with the self, the atta, the mark of a self, a me, a I, doing all these things. Then when you understand all this, you return to the true mind, which is just aware, without thought. Then you realize no duality, no hindrance, nothing. Then this is the true mind, the pure mind, the silent mind. Because this one is not the conditioned mind. This one is your true mind. It is supposed to be the unconditioned. But this is the primordial mind. Means the original pure awareness that just come out. Initially just aware. But because of delusion, single thought, it created all of this. Then from zero come one. One goes to infinity. Then in meditation, you return the phenomenal world to mind. That's why you look inside. Look within your mind. Then you realize this is the one through delusion create the phenomenal world and your suffering. And the Four Noble Truths, dependent origination, the Buddha's teaching, essential Dharma, are all there for you to see. That's why you have to cultivate with the mundane mind. You have to train this mind so that when this one sees what happened or silent, then it returns to the true mind. That's why with sati, with mindfulness, with heedfulness, it can see things as they are. Develop the wisdom. Then the moment the wisdom is there, the mind realizes itself, this fellow sees and returns to the source. And this is enlightenment. This is Nibbana. Understand? That's why Hui Rong's question was this. What do you mean by this? Unconditioned means no condition. Cannot be talked about. No word, no concept. It's beyond thought, beyond mind. Akaliko, understand? Even the true mind already got nothing. The pure perception, the pure awareness, seeing things as they are, like a baby. Understand? That itself is already so powerful. But no point. If you have a baby's mind, you cannot live life. Understand? You must have all the sophistication of the mundane mind. And yet, you are aware within. Means this awareness is connected to the mundane mind. That's why this is mindfulness. This is heedfulness. And from here, through the direct seeing, you will understand. Then you will understand the triangle that I draw. Remember the triangle? I explained to Brother Jia when he became serious. So this is pure awareness, consciousness. Pure awareness. Then this is the senses. This is understanding. So if you cultivate using your true mind, the pure awareness, then the direct seeing will bring forth this understanding. Then from here you live. Understand? When your five aggregate of form and mind, which is this one is the senses. The five aggregate of form and mind, senses. This is the real enlightenment living. This is mundane living. Consciousness create thought through the senses. This one create mundane mind. Understand? Whereas if you use the pure awareness through the direct seeing, yeah, the pure awareness through the direct seeing, you create the wisdom. Wisdom or understanding. And when this is connected, this one no longer deluded. Understand? That's why it know how to live. That's why this is true living. True living. Can understand? Yeah. These are all in the notes, in the Heart Sutta notes. Yeah. But you need to go through the revision, understand? Or the explanation. Do you realize that this time around, after I explain, it is so much clearer than before? Do you realize or not? The Dhamma is like that one. Before you understand, before you are ready, you cannot follow on. I have repeated this one, you know how many times? No? Every retreat I repeat. Yeah. And sometimes within one retreat, repeat 2-3 times. Yeah. Then during the sharing, all the classes, every year, at least also a few times. Yeah. But today one is most complete. Yeah. Yeah. No, this is pure awareness. This is the true mind, pure awareness. Yeah? Direct seeing, develop the wisdom. Understand? That's why this form and mind, when it's connected with the wisdom, you can say this form and mind is enlightened. Like this life, this segmented life, Brother Teo, you call. This one you can say is enlightened. But it's not me, understand? You understand? That's why the cultivation is not what you think. So this part is very, very important. So the form and mind, without the wisdom connected, it's just an ordinary human being, understand? That's why Sakyamuni Buddha, before the age of 35, he is still an ordinary human being, understand? We are not connected with this wisdom, this understanding. The nature has not awakened. But that form of mind, because it's born of his karma, heir to his karma, conditioned and supported by his karma, and he is what he is because of his karma. So this form of mind is destined because of the karmic nature. That's why you must cultivate this karmic nature. That's why this five aggregate of form of mind, the human being, has its duty. Every life you come, you must follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, purify the mind, and perfect yourself. Cultivate your spiritual nature. Your spiritual nature will only come to you and allow you to inherit after you have connected to the true mind. If you don't connect to the true mind, the spiritual nature cannot come in. You understand? Yeah? So this one, the spiritual nature can only come in after you connect to the true mind. So that's why this wisdom will arise after you have the direct seeing. When you connect to the true mind through the direct seeing, it awakens, and this wisdom that is connected to the mundane mind will allow the mundane mind, the form of mind of the human being, to understand all this. That's why this one is no longer deluded. And you can say this is enlightened, but this is not you. Understand? You can follow or not? Yeah. So this one is the most important. That's why the form and mind, you cannot say this is me enlightened. Understand? No meaning. Understand? But after this form and mind gone, you know what happened or not? If you have to come or you choose to come, you know what is the difference there? Have to come means karma. You got no control. then the next form of Maya can completely got no idea of what this thing is. Understand or not? Then how are you going to develop the cultivation? Like I explained last time. No, you have to go to the Bodhisattva vow and determine to have this understanding, life after life. That's why the moment you come, you can connect early. This nature understands because it has been doing this for very long. That's why it connects so early. That's why without all this, you know how difficult or not. Let's say, even this life you take for granted, because I repeated many times, you remember not? Don't allow this window to slip by. Determine through the Bodhisattva vow to have this understanding life, so that your future is taken care. Otherwise, if let's say after this life, the sasana is left with less than 2,500 years. Understand? Let's say you're lucky. Within this sasana, you can come back a few more times as human being. But when you come back, do you have this understanding? Do you still have this condition to have this understanding to cultivate? And most of you, this life you check. At what age do you come to look for Dhamma? 40, 50. But didn't find the right one. Takes so long, understand? Then after you find the right one, you're still confused because of the conditioning from your old teaching. You're still not sure. Then after you already have the faith, too old already. That's why I say, if I don't come out with the Bodhisattva vow for you to do it, I tell you, it's very difficult. That's why it's so difficult to cultivate. But this form of mind, by the time you understand the importance of this, when you have the condition to realize that this Dhamma is very important. And do you know, only during the sasana you can have that. Let's say after this 2,500 years, the 5,000 years, no more. Without the sasana, I tell you, every life you come, you don't even have the teaching. So how to go and look for it? How to go and cultivate? That's why it's impossible. That's why I say this cultivation is actually, when you don't understand, it's very, very difficult. Because every time you got conditioner, you allow the window to slip by. Then when the sasana no more, that's why the opening statement say what? 500 million of aeon, no? Not 500 million years. No? 500 million years already long enough. 500 million aeons. No? Only you can meet this type of teaching. Of course, he is referring to Diamond Sutta. That's not the normal Dhamma. That's normal Dhamma, the Four Noble Truths, is not so difficult. You can encounter quite easily. But you must have the Parami. But then, the time for one Sama Sambuddha to arise, you know how long? Sakyamuni Buddha take 3¾ Asankaya Kappa to perfect it. Then come. Then our world system, which has been in existence for almost 10 billion years, they are already 4. Means about 2.5 billion years, you see one. That's why 500 million years is nothing. Understand? And all this, if you don't see the importance of it, I tell you, you will never be serious. You will never be serious. You should actually count your blessing for you to have such condition to listen to this and have the understanding of this. It's not easy, I tell you. This is really rare, this type of teaching. That's why the Diamond Sutta say, wherever, whichever place where this sutta can be spoken, this place is different. The being here are different. Understand now? Okay. Oh, almost 10:30 already. Yeah, you better rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So, any question or not? Any question or not? Not to say you also can't practice. You got nothing. Then you must depend on your depend on your what? No, your karma. Understand how? That's why this karmic nature is very important. Your karmic nature allow you to come with a form and mind, vehicle. Then you must use it to cultivate life after life to have this understanding and perfect yourself so that the spiritual nature is there. So that without the sasana, like what Paramahansa just mentioned, you can still become enlightened. But Jaka Buddha become enlightened when there is no sasana. Understand? Bodhisattva, also every life they come, no need sasana. Because they have this vow. Life after life they come, no matter what state they are born into, they will have this understanding. That's why it's a different cultivation, completely. Not what normal living being think. That's why this way is the way of the Buddha. It's very different. Very, very different. And this nature has a lot of joy because you all have the condition. Now you can understand. Actually, to understand until this part, even theory-wise, is not easy, you know. And do you realize tonight, the whole thing becomes like very clear to you? You understand? Huh? No, the yin yang fa, because got condition. And not only you want to understand, up there a lot want to understand. Because it's meant to be. That's why the condition is tonight, not that many of you understand. Those who gullible go to retreat one, they have to listen to the recording. Understand? Because it's meant to be. The condition has to be today. And I also don't know why I didn't rub off this thing. For 4 weeks now it has been there. 4 or 5 weeks. I rub everything except that one. Like the nature know, I need it. Then today, actually, I just want to explain to you the mark, understand not? Then because of condition, Huirong asked, what is the unconditioned? Otherwise, we won't be talking about all this. Understand? Yeah. Oh, another feeling. Huirong, feeling. Pass the mic.
Is it because you say 人生难得?
Yeah.
Then, only in human realms you'll be able to achieve enlightenment.
No.
Is it because?
No, Devarayana also can.
But just now you say,
人生难得，佛法难闻. Yes.
Is it in so-called in Deva realms is more difficult than you are in human realms because of they have no form, so they cannot experience so-called the consciousness. You cannot try to break through the consciousness. That's the reason why you know it will be
not really like that. I will explain to you. You off that one. You see, the non-human, the devas, they don't have a physical body, understand? So when they are born as deva, they actually don't have suffering. They have a lot of joy, understand? That's why you reap your reward up there, understand? But when they are about to die, they got sweat, then they smell. So by then, let's say, it trigger you to cultivate, understand? You about to die already, understand? That's why they don't have like human being, no, a mixture of suffering, and we call it karma sukati, sensual realm of happiness. But there is also suffering in the human realm, and because we have a gross physical body, which is good for us karmically, that's why we can take our karma, we can take all this suffering and all those things through the law of karma. That's why it created this gross form for human being. But the human being, the consciousness, can go either way. Understand? If you cultivate seriously and perfect it, you can become Samasambuddha. If you abuse this mundane mind through delusion, you can go to eternal hell.
Abaya. They call it the hell realm. So all of this is because the human being, the human form and mind, has this uniqueness. Because of the gross form, you can feel the feeling, everything, the consciousness is very strong in you. Whereas in the Deva realm, most of the time, you enjoy on. Because you don't go through suffering. Only when you're about to die, you sweat, then smell, then people don't like you. Then they know you are dying already. Your light starts to dim. Your glow, your aura, slowly become dim. Then they know you are about to die already. So like the human being also, your consciousness, your life force, people can see and can feel one about to die already. But when your aura is very strong, you will know one. You feel very healthy one, very good one. Understand? So, what you are trying to ask is the first part. Mahayana always say, "Ren sheng nan de, fo fa nan wen." So this is to express to you the urgency. You know how difficult is it to be born as a human being, to have a human body. The Buddha's analogy is what? A blind turtle, blind, every 100 years surface once, then the turtle egg with an opening slightly bigger than the turtle head floating in the ocean. The probability of this blind turtle every 100 years surface once to hit that opening, the aperture of that turtle egg shell, more difficult than strike social welfare. That's why it's very difficult to be born as a human being. But you all won't believe that. You get married, got baby already, and so why is it so difficult? This is because according to probability, understand? The probability of birth as a human being, you know, one in don't know how many billion, no? Because all the beings you take into consideration, to be born of a human being, you must have virtue, no? Understand? It's not easy to be born a human. We have the hell rhyme, the beta rhyme, that one countless. And even the other rhyme, a lot. But the human rhyme is a very unique species. And it's very difficult to be born as a human being. Then he said, it is already so difficult to have a human body, means to be born as a human being. It's even more difficult to encounter the Buddha Dhamma. Understand? That's why 人生难得佛法难闻. This life you have such great condition to be born as a human being with a human form, with all the senses intact, don't have problem. And you have the sasana, and you have contacted the Buddha Dhamma, and you have such teaching, and you somehow want to allow this window to slip by. It's up to you, understand? Your life. It's your choice. If you have the understanding, I tell you, you will determine life after life to have this understanding, then cultivate seriously. Because this parami can give you the causes and conditions when you make the vow. Where this life, you all have so much condition to do good, to do wholesomeness. Even listening to this sharing, that 2 or 2.5 hours, you know how much merits has you received. Then with this understanding of beyond mark, I tell you, your cultivation is way beyond other beings. You understand? Not to talk about thought-based meditation and all those things. You can even penetrate the one without the self, the atta, the mark of a self. Of course, living being more difficult. Because you still got your loved one and all those things. But when you understand this, and when you read the Green Book, it's very easy actually, not difficult. Straight away, I tell you, you can awaken. Sainthood way is nothing, really, nothing. You have this understanding. But you must have the faith. And you must be sincere.
then just cultivate, persevere. The Dhamma will be there for you. It will unfold. You will connect and you will realize. Especially this coming retreat, the March one, I tell you. Make sure you have your leave. Those retired ones like Yun Chan, no need to worry. I tell you, you just go there, silent your mind and listen. The vibration will go in. It will actually activate your nature, your gateway. Then a lot of things will happen this retreat, I tell you. Because it looks like a lot of things is ready already, waiting for it to happen. That's why 2-3 years ago I felt the nature tell me our Kayamita force is going to move very strongly. That's why you realize the last 2-3 years, so much changes, so many of the transcripts came out, especially the Heart Sutta and all those things. And this nature never do anything. It's just a handful of Kayamita only. I think total less than 200. And yet, so much thing happened. Do you realize that? You look at Sumeru and all those things, the images come by itself. We didn't even know them. How come they invite us? And how come all this come? Then, the spiritual trip. How did it happen? How did it unfold? You know me, I never plan anything. I never want to do anything. Everything come through condition. Without condition, nothing happens. That's why it's your parami, your affinity. That's why count your own blessing. Have faith in your own nature. For you to be here, to have the condition to be part of the whole Kayamita, you have your past. Do not underestimate yourself. You have your nature. Otherwise, you cannot be here having such condition to do all this thing. You know, if those cultivator who understand that, if they look from outside, do you know that a lot of them will envy you all to have such condition? In fact, even that Pollyanna, she wrote me a WhatsApp. You know what she said? Surprisingly, she got such gratitude. I read to you. 10:30. Wait, I just read to you. You see, look at her. Sometimes she like not serious. Lately, she dead serious, because also kena many times, knocking. Yeah, I warned her 2 times. I said, if you continue not to be serious, I say, your life, you decide what you want. Because this is not a matter of joke. Cultivation, you have to be dead serious. Then recently, she wrote to me, Bertil, good morning. Pollyanna here. For Kelantan trip. Oh, sorry, this one earlier. May I stay at your house on Wednesday and join you in the taxi for airport on Thursday? Oh, this one is earlier. Then after that, October 27th. Not that long ago. 2 weeks ago. 3 weeks. Coming to 3 weeks. He said, Bertil, I am very blessed to have chance to learn the true Dhamma teaching from you. It is so penetrative. By the power of all merits, wholesomeness that I have partaken from the distant past until now, may it arise the causes and conditions. She said, again, for me. I think it's for me, life after life. To hear and learn this true penetrative teaching from your nature, then she put there, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. It is not easy to come by this penetrative teaching, especially by a lay person. Sorry, for a lay person to meet such a teacher or Kayamita who has the true Dhamma. See? She suddenly realized so precious a condition. And this one is very, very penetrative and very different. Early on, not serious one, but lately different. That's why she went for the retreat again, the spiritual treatment also. So she really determined very hard. Which is good, understand? When you, at least this is the beginning, when you realize that these are so penetrating and so beautiful, so important, that's why you would like to make that aspiration and the vow to receive this teaching, life after life and all those things. That's why the Bodhisattva way, that notes, the 5 pages, especially prepare for you all, so that you all can have this condition to understand and receive this life after life, even without the sasana. Okay? Yeah. So read through it, understand it, then determine seriously. So this life alone, and now, everything already set, your future all taken care of. Worthy or not? Worthwhile or not? Only this life, these few more years, actually, you got at least 10 or 20 years to go. And what you need is 1 or 2 years of serious, committed hard work. Then after that, it becomes a part of you. You will have a lot of joy. Then when you have this understanding, you definitely will have this understanding after that. Then you will know how to determine through that understanding. Because that parami, that understanding comes from the Diamond Sutta understanding. And it's very powerful. It's very, very powerful. Already explained by the Buddha, 4 stanza is so much, the merits and the wholesomeness is so much more than even a very pious cultivator who keep the 5 precepts or the 8 precepts or the 10 precepts and make all the 7 treasure offering to all the Buddhas of the 3 periods of time. The merits that they do cannot match a person who have this understanding of the Diamond Sutta and cultivate it accordingly and share it with the world. That's why it's very different. Okay, we shall end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Actually, we didn't move today. Same page, which is good news. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits, then we can end. Let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness, all of the whatever goodness or merits that we have developed. And we are going to share them with all beings. We will start by sharing with the devas. Akka satta cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyantang anamoditva cirang rakantu lokasasana. Itta vata ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadu sadu sadu. Keep in respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones.
mereka.